Usually when we talk about a medical diagnosis, there's this expectation of profound clarity.
Right, yeah. Like engineering.
Exactly, like engineering. You break your arm, the x-ray shows that jagged white line, the doctor points to the screen, and there it is, broken or not broken. It's clean, it's visible, and frankly, it's comforting.
Well, we have this deep psychological need to, categorize things, to see the fracture so we can apply the cast.
But then you step into the world of information today, and
Yeah.
suddenly that x-ray machine is just fundamentally broken. We're looking at a daily landscape of news and emails, corporate documents, viral threads, and it is just incredibly murky.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't just hold a viral article up to a light and see the fracture and its logic. The structural integrity of the information we consume every single day is entirely invisible to the naked eye.
We're basically operating in diagnostic muddy waters, right? Trying to process reality through this heavily distorted lens. And the sheer volume of that reality is what makes the distortion so dangerous.
And that brings us to the core of what we are examining today in this deep dive. Because we are exploring a space called document intelligence, or DI, and specifically unpacking a fascinating platform called Veridoc. Because we are looking at technology that is finally attempting to build a new kind of X-ray machine for the information age.
Yeah, a tool that essentially serves as a literal superpower, not just for individual consumers trying to figure out what is real, but for small businesses that are just, drowning in an ocean of unstructured paperwork.
Right, and for you, the listener, whether you are that small business owner or just a fellow learner trying to navigate the web, this is huge. To understand how this works, we've pulled together a massive stack of sources for this deep dive.
We really have. We are looking at market landscape reports detailing the $31 billion intelligent document processing industry.
$31 billion with a B.
Exactly. And we're also diving deep into the highly technical AWS architecture blueprints for SaaS startups to understand the actual, the plumbing of how these tools operate. And we are analyzing the specific marketing and technical documentation for Veridoc itself.
So we are taking the 30,000-foot economic view, and then we are going all the way down to the serverless architecture code. Because the scale of the problem here is almost difficult to conceptualize.
It really
I
is.
mean, we live in an era where the internet generates more content daily than a human can read in a lifetime. And our sources highlight a terrifying foundational statistic. 85% of people cannot reliably detect AI-generated text.
That 85% figure is staggering. I mean, it means the vast majority of the population is flying blind in a blizzard of synthetic media.
A total blizzard.
Right. But it is not just the AI generation that is the issue. It's the structural quality of human-generated information as well. The sources point out that 60% of viral articles contain at least one major logical fallacy.
Okay, wait, let's sit with that for a second. 60%. That means if a piece of information is moving fast enough to go viral, there is a better than even chance that its foundational logic is flawed. We're talking about emotional reasoning, false equivalencies, straw man arguments.
Yeah, these are the invisible machineries of persuasion. Most readers simply never see them, A writer will set up a false dichotomy, presenting only two extreme options when a whole spectrum exists, and the reader will just unconsciously accept that those are the only two choices.
And this isn't just an abstract philosophical debate about truth either. There is a massive financial bleeding happening because of this. The documentation estimates that $78 billion is lost annually due to bad decisions made on poor information quality.
$78 billion. And from a corporate perspective, the cost of trusting the wrong source or misunderstanding a complex document is catastrophic.
Give me an example of that.
Well, think about a hospital misinterpreting patient intake forms, right? Or a logistics company misreading a customs declaration, or an investment firm acting on a synthesized, completely hallucinated market report.
Wow, yeah.
That massive financial bleed is the primary driver behind why the intelligent document processing, or IDP, market is booming. As of early 2026, it is projected to hit over $31 billion, and it's growing at a 65% annual rate.
A 65% annual growth rate is explosive. That doesn't happen because somebody released a slightly better user interface. There has to be a fundamental underlying shift in the technology to drive that kind of capital allocation. We are moving away from simple OCR optical character recognition into something entirely different.
Yeah, for decades, OCR was the gold standard for digitizing documents. But traditional OCR is incredibly limited. It's purely focused on text extraction. A machine scans an image of a page, recognizes the shapes of the letters through pattern matching, and gives you a plain text string. It reads the characters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but it has zero semantic understanding of what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 actually means.
I always think of traditional OCR as a parrot.
A parrot.
Yeah, a parrot can repeat the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that it sees on a page with perfect pronunciation, but it has no idea what those numbers represent. Document intelligence, on the other hand, is like hiring an executive assistant.
Oh, I like that.
The assistant knows those numbers represent a postal code. They know it belongs to a specific vendor in a specific state, and they know exactly what accounting software system to input them into.
That analogy captures the leap perfectly. The market has shifted toward what the industry is now calling agentic AI. And what is crucial to understand is that the initial wild hype bubble of generative AI, where everyone thought a chatbot was going to magically run their entire company overnight, that bubble has largely popped.
Right. The reality check hit.
Exactly. We have entered an era of practical, disciplined adoption.
So the focus is less on, hey, AI, write me a sci-fi screenplay in the style of Shakespeare, and more on, hey, AI, process this messy, coffee-stained shipping manifest and flag any discrepancies.
Exactly that. Modern DI systems utilize advanced context and layout awareness. They don't just read left to right, top to bottom like an old OCR scanner. They understand the two-dimensional geometry of a page.
So they see it the way a human sees it.
Yes. They recognize the spatial relationship between an invoice number sitting in the top right quadrant and a due date tucked away in the bottom left. Older systems just dumped a raw CSV file of text onto your desktop and wished you luck. These 2026 agentic systems actually reason.
I want to make that concept of reasoning concrete for the listener. If we look at the supply chain sector, which the reports highlight as a massive adopter, how does this agentic reasoning actually play out when a document hits the system?
So imagine a massive logistics firm. An invoice arrives from a vendor, but the total on the invoice doesn't match the original purchase order generated 3 months ago.
Which happens all the time.
Right, constantly. An older rule-based system would either crash because the fields didn't perfectly align, or it would just blindly input the wrong data, which means a human auditor is going to have to spend hours untangling the mess 6 months later.
A nightmare.
But an agentic DI system recognizes the mismatch. But more importantly, it acts as an independent agent. It can automatically draft an email to the vendor, attach the mismatched documents, politely ask for clarification on the discrepancy, and queue that email up in a dashboard for a human manager to approve with one click.
It is anticipating the next logical business step. It isn't just reading data, it is participating in the workflow. And the sources note this is particularly transformative in banking, making up about 45% of the entire market. They're using this for KYC, know your customer checks.
Banking relies on an avalanche of unstructured documents, passports, utility bills, complex corporate structures. Taking the time to open a commercial bank account used to take weeks of manual verification.
I remember doing that. It was awful.
Yeah. Now, DI systems can instantly pull data from a blurry photo of a utility bill, cross-reference the address with municipal databases, and reduce that onboarding time to minutes.
But while banking is the giant, healthcare is actually the fastest growing sector. Think about the sheer volume of real-time patient intake forms, prior authorizations for insurance, handwritten doctor's notes.
Healthcare is a perfect storm for document intelligence. Medical staff are experiencing profound burnout, largely driven by manual data entry into electronic health records.
Right.
Imagine an AI that can accurately extract data from a doctor's hurried, messy shorthand, understand the medical abbreviations contextually, and update the patient's digital chart automatically. It is fundamentally fixing the administrative front door of the healthcare system.
So the enterprise scale of this is undeniable.
Huh.
The massive corporations are using it to save billions in administrative overhead. But this technology, this ability to read critically at scale, is far too powerful to just live in corporate back offices.
Agreed.
We are all facing a crisis of scale with misinformation in our daily lives. And that leads us to how this technology is being packaged for the consumer, which is where Veradoc comes in.
Veradoc represents a fascinating pivot. It takes this heavy-duty, enterprise-grade reasoning engine and points it at the consumer and researcher market. Their operating motto really encapsulates the mission: read everything, Trust wisely.
Read everything. Trust wisely. It's a great philosophy because it isn't advocating for censorship. It's not telling you to only read approved mainstream sources. It's giving you the tools to process whatever you encounter. So let's walk through how a person actually interacts with this. The documentation outlines a very deliberate four-step workflow. Step one is submit.
The ingestion is designed to be completely frictionless. A user can paste a URL of a news article, upload a dense PDF research paper, drop in a Word document, raw HTML, or just paste plain text from a suspicious email.
Step two is investigate. And this is crucial because it happens before the system even attempts to read the actual words on the page. It pulls the provenance.
Yeah, the system immediately looks at the metadata of the source. It checks the publication date, the listed author, the domain registration history, and the canonical URL to see if the piece has been syndicated or silently edited. It establishes the environmental context of the document before analyzing its contents.
Once that context is built, we hit step three, analyze. This is the heavy lifting. The system spins up a battery of AI models simultaneously to score the document across eight distinct dimensions. And then step four is collect, which gives the user a centralized dashboard, semantic search capabilities, and the ability to track how a specific author or publication's quality shifts over time.
Those eight dimensions of analysis are the entire value proposition of Veradoc. They move the user away from a simplistic binary, this is true or this is false mindset, and provide a deeply rich, multi-layered metadata profile.
I want to spend some serious time here because this is the X-ray machine we talked about at the top of the deep dive. Let's invent a hypothetical scenario to run through these lenses.
Okay, let's do it.
Imagine a viral article pops up on your social media feed. The headline is, "New quantum-infused Himalayan salt lamp completely cures 5G radiation brain fog. Big pharma panics."
Oh, classic. A highly clickable piece of internet content.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how does Veradoc's first dimension, the logical fallacy rating, handle this?
The logical fallacy rating is trained to detect structural flaws in argumentation. It doesn't actually care about the salt lamps or the 5G. It looks at how the argument is built.
Okay.
If the article states, "Anyone who doubts the power of these salt lamps is just a paid shill for the pharmaceutical industry," the AI flags that specific sentence. It highlights it and labels it an ad hominem attack, meaning the author is attacking the character of the critic rather than addressing the substance of the criticism.
Or if the article says, "You either buy this salt lamp today, or you resign yourself to a lifetime of radiation poisoning."
Yes, the system highlights that and tags it as a false dichotomy. It explicitly names the fallacy for the user. It is teaching the reader the mechanics of bad logic in real time.
Which brings us to the second dimension, factuality confidence. This is a score from 0 to 1 representing how factually reliable the document appears. Now, I have to push back hard on this one.
I knew you would.
The moment a tech company introduces an automated factuality score, red flags go up everywhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't this essentially make Veradoc an automated censorship tool? How do we know it isn't just imposing the political or ideological biases of the engineers in Silicon Valley who programmed it? Who gets to decide what the absolute truth is?
That is the most critical question surrounding any document intelligence tool used on public information. And the developers clearly anticipated this resistance. If you dive into the architecture and the market positioning, their entire defense against bias lies in radical explainability. The system is fundamentally designed not to be a black box.
Explain what you mean by that in this context, because a lot of AI is a black box.
A black box system would just stamp a giant red false sauce on the article and hide it from your feed. Veradoc doesn't block you from reading anything. Instead, its factuality score is based on internal consistencies and verifiable citation signals. It cross-references specific, localized claims against vast data sets.
So it's looking for proof.
Exactly. If the article claims that the FDA quietly approved our salt lamp yesterday, the AI can instantly ping the public FDA database API, see no such approval exists, and flag that specific sentence as entirely uncorroborated.
Okay, so it's grading the math of the argument, not the ideology behind it.
Yes. It is pointing out structural weaknesses. It is highlighting the exact passage, providing the cross-reference data, and allowing you, the human user, to look at the evidence and decide if you agree with the AI's assessment. It provides the receipts.
That makes a lot of sense. It's giving you the raw scan so you can see the fracture yourself. Okay, dimension three, AI generation probability. This is vital given the 85% statistic we mentioned earlier. But how does an AI actually detect another AI? It can't just be looking for the phrase as an AI language model.
No, it looks for two specific statistical markers in the text. Perplexity and burstiness.
Let's translate those. What is perplexity?
Perplexity is a measure of how predictable the vocabulary is. AI models generate text by predicting the most statistically likely next word. Consequently, their writing tends to use very common, highly probable word choices. Human writers are quirky.
We are.
We use strange synonyms. We pull from weird personal vocabularies.
Yeah.
If a text has very low perplexity, meaning every single word was the absolute most mathematically predictable choice, it is highly likely an AI wrote it.
That makes sense. The AI writes like an average of everything, so it lacks those weird human spikes of creativity and burstiness.
Burstiness refers to the variation in sentence length and structure. Humans naturally write in bursts. We will write a long, winding, complex sentence with multiple clauses, then a short one, like this.
Right.
AI models, unless specifically prompted otherwise, tend to generate sentences of very uniform length and structure. So low perplexity combined with low burstiness triggers a high AI generation probability score.
That is fascinating. We're essentially catching the machines because they are too mathematically perfect. Moving on to the fourth dimension, pseudoscience indicators. This seems particularly relevant for our fictional salt lamp article.
The health and wellness space is flooded with content that mimics the visual language of science without adhering to the scientific method. This lens flags unfalsifiable claims. If the article says the salt lamp clears negative energy from your aura, the system flags it because negative energy in an aura cannot be measured, tested, or disproven. It is unfalsifiable.
It would also flag anecdotal evidence, right? Like, my cousin Brenda used this and her brain fog vanished, therefore it cures 5G radiation.
Precisely. It flags the anecdote, warns about the small sample size, and notes the absence of any cited peer-reviewed literature. The fifth dimension, fictional content likelihood, works closely with this. It distinguishes reported, objective facts from narrative storytelling, satire, or wild speculation.
Which is incredibly important when a piece of satire or a heavily editorialized opinion piece presents itself using the exact same font, layout, and visual language as a serious piece of investigative journalism.
Absolutely. The remaining dimensions round out the environmental profile. Source provenance digs into the domain reputation. Is this a respected medical journal or a domain registered 3 weeks ago in a country known for hosting click farms? Does it have a history on the Internet Archive, or did it just pop into existence yesterday?
So when you run our fake salt lamp article through this system, you don't just get a pop-up saying fake news. You get a dashboard showing a high logical fallacy rate, heavily reliant on ad hominem attacks, a low factuality score due to uncorroborated FDA claims, a high AI generation probability based on uniform sentence structure, and a massive pseudoscience warning for unfalsifiable claims.
You get a complete multidimensional diagnostic profile of the information.
The use cases for this are so incredibly broad. Think about a university researcher trying to build an evidence base for a thesis. They could ingest 50 different papers into a Veradoc collection and immediately see which ones are leaning heavily on logical fallacies or lacking solid provenance. A legal compliance team could run due diligence on hundreds of pages of expert witness materials in seconds.
Or consider the average person. You receive a massive, emotionally charged Twitter thread saved as a PDF from a well-meaning family member. Instead of getting into a screaming match at Thanksgiving, you can drop it into Veradoc, get the metadata profile, and understand the structural weaknesses of what you are dealing with before you choose to internalize it or share it.
It is genuinely democratizing critical thinking. But here's where the narrative of this technology takes a massive turn. While Veradoc is an incredible tool for the news junkie or the academic, the market landscape reports highlight a profound, entirely underserved demand for this exact same reasoning technology in the small business sector.
The SMB gap is one of the most fascinating economic stories in tech right now. The data shows that search activity on the AWS marketplace for terms like agentic AI and specialized document extraction for SMBs has surged by an astounding 40 times.
A 40x increase is a desperate cry for help from the market. But wait, we talked earlier about the giant enterprise systems. Azure Document Intelligence, Google Document AI, AWS Textract, these tools already exist. If the technology is mature, why are local plumbing companies and boutique accounting firms struggling to access it?
It comes down to a massive disconnect in complexity and cost. The enterprise heavyweights platforms built by companies like UiPath or ABBUY are incredibly powerful, but they are built for Fortune 500 companies. They often start at around $20,000 a year in licensing fees and require integration consultants that can charge an additional $50,000 just to set the system up.
So that is completely out of reach for a local HVAC company. But what about the raw tech? Can't they just use the cloud APIs directly?
That is the other end of the spectrum. Companies like AWS or Google offer the raw developer tools, the software development kits, or SDKs. But a local lumberyard doesn't have a team of Python developers on staff to wire up cloud APIs, manage secure authentication, and build user interfaces.
It's like the market is currently selling either a private jet that the small business can't afford, or a box of loose airplane engine parts to a business owner who isn't a mechanic. What the SMBs desperately need is a reliable, affordable commuter car.
That is the exact gap Veridoc and similar platforms are moving to fill. They are building that commuter car by providing an out-of-the-box workflow. The sources explicitly define the must-have feature set to capture this SMB market.
And the first feature is obvious: a no-code drag-and-drop user interface. The user needs to be able to just drag a messy PDF invoice onto a secure web page and instantly see the extracted data without writing a single line of code.
The second must-have is pre-built connectors. The extracted data is useless if it just sits in Veridoc. It needs to instantly sync with the tools the business already relies on. It needs a button that says push to QuickBooks, sync with Shopify, or alert via Slack.
And the third feature, which I found fascinating in the documentation, is built-in privacy masking.
This is critical for small businesses that don't have dedicated compliance teams. If a boutique HR consulting firm is processing employee onboarding documents, those documents are full of sensitive, personally identifiable information, social security numbers, home addresses, bank routing details.
The system is designed to automatically detect and visually redact those SSNs before the data is ever committed to a long-term storage database. It protects the small business from massive liability if they ever suffer a data breach because the sensitive data was masked at the point of ingestion.
But the most transformative feature for the SMB market, the thing that truly bridges the gap between the private jet and the commuter car, is what the industry calls 5-doc training. This is based on an advanced machine learning concept called few-shot learning.
Let's build a scenario for this. Imagine a local custom cabinetry business, Bob's Cabinets.
Okay, Bob's Cabinets.
Bob buys wood from 50 different local lumber mills. And every single mill sends him an invoice formatted in a completely different, bizarre way. Some are handwritten, some are ancient Excel printouts with sawdust scanned into the PDF. Bob doesn't have a massive data set of 10,000 identical invoices to train a custom enterprise AI model.
And historically, that was the barrier. Machine learning required massive data. But with 5-doc training, Bob simply uploads 5 examples of that weird, specific invoice from a new lumber supplier.
Just 5.
Just 5. The AI analyzes those 5 documents. It learns the unique spatial layout. It identifies the specific data fields Bob needs, like board feet or wood type, and it establishes anchor points. It instantly learns the pattern, so when the 6th invoice arrives, it knows exactly how to extract the data perfectly.
It is putting the power of custom-trained, localized AI models into the hands of a guy running a cabinet shop. But Bob is a practical guy. He knows AI isn't perfect, especially when dealing with messy, real-world documents with coffee stains on them. What happens when the system inevitably gets confused?
That brings us back to the concept of agentic correction. Let's say Bob uploads an invoice, but the supplier forgot to include their tax ID number, which Bob needs for his accounting. An older system would just crash or throw a cryptic error 404, null value message that Bob wouldn't know how to fix.
The system just stops working and Bob goes back to manual data entry.
Exactly. But an agentic system recognizes the missing entity. It doesn't crash. It drafts a request for information email. Mm-hmm. It pops up on Bob's dashboard and says, "Hey, Bob, it looks like we are missing the tax ID on this invoice from Miller's Lumber. I have drafted an email to their billing department asking for it. Do you want to review and send?"
It is the executive assistant again. It is doing the administrative busy work of error resolution. Now, to offer these incredibly powerful reasoning tools to consumers, sometimes entirely for free, like Veridoc's base tier, or to SMBs like Bob for a low monthly fee, the underlying technology has to be incredibly, almost unbelievably cost efficient.
Oh, the margins are razor thin. If the cloud computing costs run out of control, the entire business model collapses.
Therefore, we have to look under the hood. We have to look at the technical plumbing making Veridoc and these SMB applications viable in 2026. And this is where the AWS architecture blueprints we reviewed become absolutely essential.
The entire solution is built on a serverless SaaS model, heavily reliant on Amazon Web Services. And the guiding philosophy of this architecture is a concept called zero idle cost.
Explain zero idle cost for someone who isn't a cloud engineer.
In the old days of software, if you built an application, you had to rent a server. That server was a physical computer running in a data center somewhere, and you paid for it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If it's a Sunday morning and absolutely zero users are logged into your app, you are still paying the hourly rate to keep that server humming.
Which is a massive drain on resources for a startup.
But in a serverless architecture, the infrastructure scales down to absolutely zero. You don't pay for idle servers. You only pay for the exact milliseconds of compute time that are used when a specific function is triggered. If you have zero users on a Sunday, your AWS bill for that computing power is effectively $0.
That is how they can afford to offer a free tier to consumers. The system is split into three main layers: ingestion, intelligence, and marketplace integration. For the ingestion layer, they use AWS Amplify to host the front-end website, Amazon Cognito to handle secure user logins, and Amazon S3 Simple Storage Service to hold the uploaded documents.
And there is a brilliant technical optimization hidden in the documentation here regarding how those documents get into S3. They use something called S3 presigned URLs.
I love this concept. Let's create an analogy. Imagine you have a secure warehouse, which is your S3 storage. Normally, when a delivery truck, the user's browser arrives with a package, the document they hand it to a receptionist. The receptionist represents your central web server. The receptionist then has to walk the package back to the warehouse.
And you are paying that receptionist for their time and energy to move that package. It consumes processing power and bandwidth.
Right. But with an S3 presigned URL, the system bypasses the receptionist entirely. The application gives the delivery driver a highly secure, temporary, one-time-use digital key. The driver takes the package directly to the exact right shelf in the warehouse and drops it off themselves.
It allows the user's browser to upload the heavy PDF file directly to the storage bucket, completely bypassing the processing servers. It saves massive execution costs and makes the upload process lightning fast for the user.
So the document is safely in the warehouse. Now we hit the intelligence pipeline. This orchestrates two very distinct services working in tandem.
First, a Lambda function triggers Amazon Textract. Textract is the heavy lifter for the OCR component. It doesn't just read the text, it finds the complex tables, the overlapping forms, the checked or unchecked boxes. It maps the geometry of the document. Then it takes that highly structured map data and passes it to Amazon Bedrock.
Bedrock is the AI brain. It is the service that hosts the massive large language models like Anthropic's Claude 3.5 or Meta's Llama 3.
Textract is the eyes, Bedrock is the reasoning engine.
Now, I want to spend some time on the prompt engineering here, because this is where the magic really happens. We know that models like Claude are designed to be helpful, creative, conversational chatbots. How do the engineers force this highly created AI to behave like a strict, rigorous data extractor? You don't want your AI getting creative with the numbers on a tax return.
It comes down to two major technical configurations. The first is a parameter called temperature. In the realm of large language models, temperature controls the randomness and creativity of the generated output.
So if I ask ChatGPT to write a poem about a sunset and the temperature is set high, it's going to use flowery language, it's going to invent new metaphors, it's going to be a creative genius.
Yes. A high temperature flattens the probability distribution of the next word, allowing the model to pick less common, more surprising words. But if you are asking the AI to extract the subtotal from a blurry invoice, you do not want it to be surprised. You set the temperature to absolute 0.0.
You are functionally turning off the generative part of generative AI.
That is a fantastic way to phrase it. A temperature of zero makes the model highly deterministic. It becomes, as the architecture documentation brilliantly calls it, a boring auditor. If you feed it the exact same messy invoice 100 times, it will give you the exact same extracted numbers 100 times. It enforces compliance and predictability.
A humorless, boring auditor is exactly what Bob the Cabinet Maker wants reviewing his finances. The second configuration involves the auditor system prompt. They use XML tags to heavily structure the instructions given to the AI and something called JSON schema to strictly enforce the format of the answer it gives back.
The schema guarantees that the AI returns the data in a machine-readable format that the rest of the software can understand, rather than returning a conversational paragraph like, "Hello, I found the invoice total for you and it appears to be $100.
But the most crucial part of this prompt engineering is a concept called graceful failure. We have to explore this because it solves one of the biggest problems with AI: hallucinations.
When you prompt an LLM to do a complex task, you typically provide it with few shot examples inside the prompt. You give it golden examples of what a perfect success looks like. But in 2026, the industry standard for document intelligence is that you must also include edge case examples.
You have to explicitly teach the AI how to fail.
Yes. You show the AI a simulated example of a terrible, blurry smartphone photo of a crumpled restaurant receipt where the total amount is completely cut off by the edge of the frame. And you explicitly instruct the model it is fully acceptable and in fact required to return a null value, meaning no data found, if you cannot clearly and definitively see the information.
Because if you do not give the AI explicit permission to fail, it will try so incredibly hard to please you to fulfill its directive to find the total that it will just guess. It will hallucinate a fake number based on statistical probability just to give you an answer.
Without that explicit off-ramp, hallucination is almost guaranteed on messy documents. And in document intelligence, a hallucinated number on a compliance form or an invoice is a catastrophic failure. It destroys trust in the system.
But by teaching it to return null, the system can lower its confidence score for that specific field. That low confidence score triggers the front-end user interface to draw a bright red box around that specific line item on Bob's screen, alerting him, "Hey, I extracted everything else perfectly, but this one number is illegible. I need your human eyes on it."
It is engineering trust through transparency and admitting limitations.
And they take that trust a step further by building mathematical sanity checks directly into the serverless workflow.
The AWS Lambda Orchestrator manages this. Let's say Textract pulls the raw numbers from an invoice. It sees a subtotal of $100, a tax amount of $10, and a total of $150.
Obviously, the math there is wrong.
Lambda passes those raw numbers to Bedrock, and the LLM literally acts as a calculator. It verifies if the extracted subtotal plus the extracted tax actually equals the extracted total. If the equation fails, the system immediately flags the document as containing an anomaly, preventing bad data from entering the accounting software.
We are combining the robust geometric pattern matching of traditional OCR with the sophisticated reasoning capabilities of generative AI. It is incredibly powerful. But to power something as complex as Veridoc, especially with those 8 dimensions of analysis running simultaneously on consumer dashboards, the data has to flow incredibly fast. The technical deep dive goes into the dashboard architecture. How are they populating those trend dashboards in real time without the system crumbling under the weight of the data?
This is a beautiful piece of specialized engineering. To stream those 8 complex scores to the user's screen in real time as the document is being actively analyzed, they use a technology called Server Sent Events, or SSE, built on top of a FastAPI backend and a Redis cache.
Let's translate that stack.
Think of server sent events like a stock market ticker tape. The server holds a single open connection to the user's browser and just constantly streams updates down the tape as they happen. Redis acts like an incredibly fast dry erase memo pad in the computer's short-term memory, holding the scores momentarily before they are streamed.
And the developer notes highlight a massive potential pitfall here regarding a tool called Nginx. Nginx is the web server software that sits between the app and the internet. The notes warn that by default, Nginx is designed to buffer responses.
Imagine Nginx as a highly efficient but very stubborn mailroom clerk. Instead of handing you every single piece of the ticker tape the moment it arrives, the clerk decides to hold on to all of them, wait until the box is completely full, and then hand you the entire box at once to be efficient.
But if the clerk waits for the box to be full, it silently breaks the real-time streaming effect on the dashboard.
Boo.
The user just sees a frozen loading screen, and then suddenly all the data appears at once.
Exactly. To fix it, the engineers have to include a specific header, X-axle buffering, which explicitly tells the mailroom clerk, do not put this in a box. Hand me every piece of tape the absolute second you get it. It is a tiny, obscure technical detail, but it is the difference between a product that feels magical and alive and hours of a developer tearing their hair out trying to figure out why the dashboard is freezing.
It's the plumbing behind the magic. And once that data is streamed to the user, it has to be stored so the user can search it later. They use something called Elasticsearch Index Mapping. How does that differ from a normal database?
A traditional SQL database is like a rigid Excel spreadsheet. It is great for highly structured data, but terrible for searching through mountains of text. Elasticsearch is essentially a massive, highly optimized search engine index built directly into the application. Every score Veridoc generates, like the factuality confidence, is stored as a precise numerical float value paired with the keyword rationale. The specific fallacies and pseudoscience indicators are stored as flexible keyword arrays.
Which means they can perform instant, massive aggregations. When a user looks at their Veradoc dashboard and sees a warning card that says suspicious documents, which flags articles that have both a high AI generation probability and a low factuality score, that entire card is driven by a single lightning-fast aggregation query.
Right. There are no clunky, separate analytics jobs running overnight. There are no scheduled cron jobs chewing up server time. Elasticsearch computes those complex intersections of data on the fly in milliseconds, even if the user has a collection containing tens of thousands of saved articles. The little pseudoscience indicator pill badges you see on the interface, those are populated by a dynamic terms aggregation that automatically counts and ranks the most common logical flaws across your entire reading history.
So the technology is incredibly robust, highly optimized to prevent hallucinations, and runs on a serverless architecture designed to keep operational costs as close to zero as possible. Which brings us to a very practical, critical question. The economics of truth. How is this capability actually sold to the public and to businesses? And what are the hidden traps you, the listener, need to watch out for if you decide to implement this?
Let's start by looking at Veradoc's specific pricing model, because it is designed to be incredibly accessible. They utilize a freemium model. The base reader tier is entirely free forever and requires no credit card to sign up. It gives the user the ability to process 50 documents a month, access to all 8 analysis dimensions, and maintains a 7-day history of their searches.
That is the perfect entry point for a curious consumer, a news junkie, or a college student who just wants to verify the integrity of the sources they are using for a paper.
Then you step up to the analyst tier at $29 a month. That significantly bumps the capacity to 1,000 documents, allows for unlimited saved collections, unlocks the long-term trend dashboards we discussed, enables semantic search across the entire history, and allows data exporting.
And finally, the team tier at $99 a month. That covers up to 10 users, processes 10,000 documents, provides API access to integrate it into other tools, and crucially for enterprise privacy concerns, offers an option to self-host the entire application via Docker.
Docker essentially packages the entire software application into a standardized digital shipping container. It allows a company to take Veradoc and run it entirely on their own internal private servers, ensuring highly sensitive documents never touch the public internet.
That is a very clean, easy to understand pricing ladder. But how does that compare to the broader document intelligence market? Because if Bob the cabinet maker is looking to build his own automated invoice workflow, he is going to encounter a wild west of different pricing models from various vendors.
The broader IDP market pricing is largely consolidated into 3 distinct models. The first is consumption-based, or pay-as-you-go. This is the standard model for the major cloud providers like AWS or Google. If you just need basic OCR, just the parrot reading the text without any semantic understanding, it is incredibly cheap. You are looking at roughly 60 cents to $1.50 per 1,000 pages processed.
But the moment you want the AI to actually act like the executive assistant, the generative AI extraction that can reason and understand context, that cost jumps astronomically, doesn't it?
Yes. Generative AI extraction can jump to $30 or more per 1,000 pages. It is a massive leap in cost. The second model is commitment tiers, designed for massive enterprise companies processing millions of pages, where they pay a massive flat upfront fee in exchange for a volume discount. And the third is the platform or seat-based pricing used by the all-in-one enterprise tools, which, as we discussed, can start around $20,000 a year just for the license.
The documentation points out that the SMB market, the local businesses like Bob's, are shifting heavily toward a fourth model. Outcome-based pricing. They're trying to entirely abstract away that confusing per 1,000 pages math. A small business owner doesn't want to calculate cloud token usage or worry about API calls. They just want to pay a flat $49 a month to guarantee that their 200 monthly invoices will sync perfectly with QuickBooks without them having to lift a finger.
It is selling the result, not the raw compute power. But this is where I have to issue a serious warning based on the 2026 landscape data. If you are a business owner evaluating these specialized IDP tools, you must aggressively look out for hidden intelligence costs.
What exactly is hiding in the monthly bill?
The basic API call to process the document is rarely the only thing you are paying for. First, there are hosting and deployment fees. If you use a tool that allows you to train a custom AI model just for your specific business documents, some providers will charge you around 5 cents an hour every single hour of the month just to keep that custom model active and ready to receive requests.
So even if you don't process a single document that day, you are still bleeding money just to keep the custom brain turned on.
Precisely. You might also be hit with compute time billing for the actual hours the server spent training that custom model initially, which can run anywhere from $3 to $10 an hour.
And we cannot forget the human-in-the-loop fees, the HITL costs.
This is a major one. Many of the leading SMB tools now offer a fallback service. If the AI encounters a document that is so messy, it returns that null value we talked about, instead of just flagging it for the business owner to fix, the software company automatically routes that specific document to a real, live human worker sitting in a secure facility somewhere to manually verify and type in the low confidence data.
Which is brilliant on one level because it treats human oversight as a premium trust feature, rather than a failure of the software. It guarantees Bob gets perfect data.
It does. But if the software provider is supplying those human workers on the back end, that is almost always an additional, often hidden, per-document service fee that can severely inflate your monthly bill if a supplier suddenly changes their invoice format and the AI gets confused.
So if we pull all of this together, the massive scale of the problem, the eight-lens diagnostic tools, the serverless architecture, the shifting economics, what does this actually mean for you, the listener? Let's summarize the landscape we've mapped out today.
The pros are undeniably massive. From a technological standpoint, we are looking at incredible speed to market for developers, thanks to serverless architecture and advanced prompt engineering. We are seeing massive, life-changing efficiency gains for small business owners who can finally automate their most painful administrative workflows without needing a computer science degree or a massive enterprise budget.
And on the consumer side, with tools like Veradoc, we are witnessing the true democratization of critical thinking. The ability to apply a multidimensional, deeply analytical BS detector to any piece of viral media and get a detailed breakdown of its logical fallacies and factual integrity in 30 seconds? That is a profoundly empowering capability for the average citizen.
But the cons and the risks are equally real. For businesses, there is the ever-present danger of those hidden cloud computing costs eating into your profit margins if you don't map your architecture and understand your vendor's pricing model carefully.
And for consumers, for society at large, there's a deep psychological risk here. If we build these incredible machines to do our critical thinking for us, if we offload the heavy lifting of skepticism entirely to a server, what happens to us?
That is the pivotal underlying question of this entire technological shift. If you are a local business owner looking to automate your accounting sinks, this technology is a no-brainer. If you're a researcher trying to navigate an ocean of publications, document intelligence is now an accessible, mandatory daily tool.
But it leaves us with this final lingering thought. We are building these incredible complex AI systems to protect ourselves from the flood of AI-generated misinformation. We are quite literally fighting fire with fire. But as we increasingly rely on Veradoc and tools like it to verify our reality, if the ultimate arbiter of truth becomes a machine reading another machine's output, what happens to the human muscle of critical thinking?
It is the ultimate paradox of the technology. Do we use these tools as training wheels to become sharper, more perceptive editors of our own reality? Do we learn to spot the fallacies manually because the AI has pointed them out to us so many times? Or do we take the path of least resistance? Do we simply outsource our skepticism entirely, trusting the dashboard's green factuality score as blindly and unconsciously as we once trusted a viral headline?
It is the new muddy waters. The X-ray machine is finally working again. The fractures are visible on the screen, but we still have to remember how to read the scans ourselves. Thank you so much for going on this incredibly deep dive with us today. Keep questioning the logic, keep verifying the sources, and stay curious.